Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Welcome to episode 168 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, GM Rusty Quill. With me today, I have
Ben Meredith, Bryn Monroe,
Lydia Nicholas,
and Helen Gould.
I would like to do a retake because I can be better. You ready?
Okay.
Stella. Oh, what a.
No, Rusty Quill Gaming.
Oh, shoot.
Remember where you are, Ben.
Welcome to. Welcome to Rusty Quill Gaming episode 168. I'm your host and GM, and with me today, I've got
Ben Meredith,
Bryn Monroe,
Lydia Nicholas.
Who are you playing?
Oops.
The way that happens in the.
It's a Bentival.
Oh, it really was. Oh my
Holy
god!
The first time Bentival.
Zolf Smith.
Hamitsala Hurin Al Sahan.
Sal Sidebottom
and Azu.
This is real.
Alex is very tired today, listeners. Okay. Please bear with him.
Okay, cool. I'm back.
He's only got the names of characters wrong 3 times so far today. He's doing great.
And so we are going to pick up gently where we left off. It's sleepy bye-bye time for so many members of the cast.
Nothing gentle about it. Cell is violently shaking Azu.
Oh, yeah.
But the only person who is aware of that is currently Cell, because everything's calm. Everything's at peace.
Wake up! Azu, come on. I need someone.
Cell, give me a perception check, please.
Oh, that's a natural one.
Cool, you can carry on as is.
I mean, I think Ben had something to say.
Sigif is also there to see how not calm it is, just as Yeah. Reminder.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what
Oh, no.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
he finished his crossword puzzle. That was the one thing keeping him here.
No!
It was, Ben, it was. I'm so glad someone said that.
All right, Sel is going to turn to Hamid and shake him. Come on, come on. Come on, I can't. Come on, little buddy, I can't be... No, I can't have lost you all already. This is ridiculous, okay? I mean, even just some mounting tension or something before it happened. It's just, this is absurd. They're all already asleep. They're all already in some kind of magical sleep. Okay, what do I know about magical sleep? Nothing. Okay. So, who might know about magical sleep? Probably Hamid. He is asleep. That's not helpful. Azu might as well. Also, asleep. Sigif? You? Sigif?
Sigif is now asleep on top of, let's say, Dral. Asleep trying to wake up Dral arbitrarily.
Okay, Sigif, that is actually, really, at some deep level in myself, exactly what I expected to happen. So if anything, well done. Right, okay, breathe. Okay, breathe. No, that's too many breathes. I am going to have to talk to Zolf. Do I have any potions? I could make them big. Oh, but they could breathe underwater, but that would not help.
I am going to have to jump to Zolf. Zolf.
Hello.
No perception checks on this one, but can you please give me a fresh will save?
Just to double check, there are no sort of like external indications that an effect is intensifying or anything like that?
I would say if it was.
Great, that's fine.
Yep.
So that will save is... only rolled 4. 19. That's...
Okay, cool.
Yep.
In which case then, continuing along, you notice eventually that the ship is starting to fight you a little bit more whenever you make a deliberate incorrect move. So whereas before it would kind of anticipate where you're wanting to go and then you'd be like, no, we're going this way, and it'd cave, now it's fighting a little bit more, but you still are able to overrule, but there is an active resistance now instead of just a tweak at your end, if you see what I mean.
Yep.
It is still steering, as far as you can tell, an optimal course, although visibility is now starting to worsen slightly. The Borealis is getting more dense. And if anything, it's behaving quite a lot like cloud cover, insofar as it's a bit more difficult to see where you're going. But I would say there hasn't been an intensity increase in terms of any of the effects upon you. These are the only real changes.
Sure. Is there a way that I can try and work out if the ship is, like, being affected by a curse?
Ooh, that's a good question. You do have certain abilities as a cleric...
What I'm going for is, like, is there a way that I can identify the kind of effect the ship is under, within reason, of course?
I mean, detect magic would be the normal way.
Detect magic, detect evil could expose certain elements of a curse.
Oh, I've got, okay, in which case, detect magic. I cast that.
Okay, cool. So you cast detect magic.
In the middle of the Borealis.
You are temporarily stunned.
Oh.
Because the answer is yes, everywhere, but not in a way I can't even give you a school.
Oh,
it isn't one where it's like, oh, it's an enchantment school or something.
Too much noise.
Yeah.
You have basically, detect magic is the equivalent of going over to a radio that's tuned to static and then just turning the volume up a lot to see if there's a signal.
Sure.
It's just... But to be clear, like, you're stunned for a round and then it's like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, fine.
That's a lot. You know, however, that, like, there was no distinctive, like, necromantic enchantment. There wasn't a school of any type.
It was just wild. Surprisingly. So, all right, I guess... how much of a problem is the ship being right now?
At the moment, it is not being. It is still seeming to want to go the way that makes sense. However, it is starting to fight you more and more, and you're starting to notice that it isn't just a case of if you steer right when you should go left, it tries to fight you. You're starting to notice that one of the levers for elevation will click in such a way that you have to reach over to move it back, and it'll try to reassert the wheel whilst you're dealing with this other thing. Nothing's on fire, nothing's exploding. The engines are still apparently off.
This is the kind of thing that's not a problem until it really is, and I should have pre-sorted the problem. Yeah, I'm going to try and cast Remove Curse. So it's 1d20 plus caster level, so 1d20 plus 9 against the DC of the curse, if this is a curse. So that is a 21 against the DC of any theoretical curse, and I'm doing this on the ship, as long as it counts as an object.
Yeah, no, I understand. I understand. It's okay.
Oh, and sorry, one quick thing that may be relevant. Spell resistance does apply.
As you begin to cast, the Aurora Borealis starts to thicken around you so that visibility reduces. And it starts to feel a bit soupy. However, it isn't dragging you off the ship or anything, but it tangibly begins to feel like you can feel a slight movement against you with the light.
My breastplate has spell resistance. Again, I don't know if it's relevant, but I'm reminding you.
That's fine. Then I would say that you feel more pressure on the bits of you that aren't breastplate, I guess, now I think about it.
Cool.
But nonetheless, you do feel like it goes from what pretty lights to, like, I can't, sailing through a little very, very weak cotton wool almost.
Sure.
Your spell succeeds. You have a nice, clear connection to your god in a way that, say, for instance, Grizzop did not in Rome.
What god? I am my own god.
Ooh. Yeah. you take a moment and connect with yourself. I don't know what to say. But no, in all seriousness, that there's no mechanical issues with it. The spell, however, doesn't appear to have had any effect upon the ship.
Fine, okay.
Back into the box. At some point, you notice that the cargo has started stowing itself and reorganising itself.
The cargo in the box?
So on the other side of the box, the boxes are like a crate, and there are like loose items around the ship, and, you know, someone leaves out, say, a tin or something.
Yep.
Things are tidying themselves away, and the cargo that you can see that is loose is strapping itself in and organising itself.
Bed knobs and bloody broomsticks. Or Mary Poppins, actually, is probably better.
Or the sword and the stone.
You are now starting to feel a potent urge to sleep that you are aware is supernatural. You are not yet needing another will save or going to be forced to sleep.
I'm trying to work out if channel vigor would help against exhaustion.
Describe the effects for me again.
Basically, you choose where in your body you are channeling the vigor. And if it's on your legs, you get speedy. If it's on your arms, you get strong, I think, or dexterous. And if it's on your mind, it's the effect of a haste spell. So it really doesn't have anything practically to do with fatigue.
Gives you a bonus on will saves.
Oh, I did not know that.
You can channel it into your spirit, giving you a +6 confidence bonus on will saves and bluff and intimidate checks.
Okay, cool. That's very useful to know.
I would say that would work.
Yeah, cool. If Cell needs to take another will save, they will use that, but they will not for now.
Let's say then that, you know what, I'm going to call another will save now, but I will allow you to have channel vigor because you know that there is something afoot.
Yeah, this is, I would assume, a feeling that builds, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's gone from what a nice cozy room that everyone's fallen asleep to everyone's now asleep and can't wake up, and also I actively feel like someone's dosing me with something, which Cell has a lot of experience with when it comes to stuff. So
okay, so Cell's going to cast Channel Vigor on their spirit. I don't think I need to do anything for that.
Nope, you won't. But I will need the will save that follows it up.
And so that is, my will is temporarily +6, which is good because it is so low. Okay, cool. 18, 24.
24, mm-hmm. Okay, cool. I'm going to ask, is there anything else that you're doing in the interim?
Yeah, Cell is going to be muttering to themselves as they think through their options. It's a very useful thing about a character to have an exterior mental monologue. First, they will actively slap Hamid. Like,
nothing.
Slap him. Okay, then...
Also, interestingly, doesn't seem to register pain or anything. It's still a sort of gentle smile.
And they're going to do that on Azu.
Same situation.
Right, Cell is going to, as a move action, switch the vigour to their mind, and then they are going to use a knowledge arcana on what on earth is maybe going on.
Understood.
So I think I then have +6 to mind?
+4. And on ranged attack rolls if you want to shoot anyone with a crossbow.
Hey!
Wake up! Chunk. Oh, no.
Okay, that is 34.
34? There are numerous types of enchantment which can induce sleep in people. However, almost all types of enchantment that are willful and make someone fall asleep normally can only make someone stay asleep until someone actively tries to wake them up.
Yep, hence the slapping.
You are able to immediately exclude almost all intentional enchantments straight out of the gate, because most of those, this, you would have woken them up by now. Mm-hmm. What that leaves you to is either a form of the spell that you're not aware of, which you think's very, very unlikely.
I know all thing.
It could be augmented, where you have heard work where people have done like a sleep enchantment combined with certain like anesthetics and so on, but you know that that's not really on the card. So unless there's a gas leak in the box, it is a, it might be a naturally recurring phenomenon that you're not aware of a precedent for.
Okay, so I was going to go to the door of the box and stand there, kind of holding the door while thinking, what could Zolf do if you go and you talk to him and you ask what to do? We know that he can. He can dissolve fatigue, like he did that when we were climbing down that ladder in the broken lift shaft with the puzzle room that they ruined, which would have been so much fun. Right, so we know that, but this isn't a normal fatigue. Pretty much anything that you fatigue, if you slap them in the face, they're going to wake up. Right, okay, you know that. You know that if you leave this room, you could lose control. You could lose control. You could become a problem. And there is no one awake to deal with that problem. So you should probably stay here and just look after everyone. Make sure they're breathing. Make sure. Oh, yes. Okay, I'm going to check that they're all breathing. I'm going to wait. The wise choice is to wait.
Okay.
I'm going to do that.
I think that's very sensible. I am going to accelerate time. Sel? There is at one point, after I'd say another hour, a sort of brief knock in the ship. Not huge, but like everything up to now, you've felt very minor adjustments. And this is a little bit more sudden. Nothing huge. Like, it didn't even like... if there was a glass in your hand, you wouldn't have spilled a drink type dealy. That is it after, I would say, another hour and a half after we last checked in on you.
Okay, that I think is enough for them to... No. So they'll probably do exactly what I just did. They'll get up, be about to go out, and then decide, no. It's not that Mr. Smith or the ship is being attacked. That was a minor knock. You're using this as an excuse. You're gonna sit down. You're gonna wait. If the ship comes under attack and you're absolutely certain of that, yes, get to leave. Yes, but before that, we stay in here where we know that they are safe, that we are safe, that no one's gonna become a monster and hurt anyone. It's gonna be fine. Okay, sitting.
I will accelerate time. Another 2 hours. Everything inside the hold finishes organizing itself. Everything is put away, and you notice very subtly in a corner is the only thing left is a rag gently scrubbing an old stain on the deck at the far end of the hold that you can see.
Sel talks to the rag.
Please.
Hey, I'm little buddy.
The rag stops.
Can you hear me? Can you, I don't know, shake a little if you can hear me?
The rag kind of flops. It flollops.
That was really cool. Thank you so much for doing this. I am delighted to be in conversation with you. I hope that you're having a good day. Welcome to the world. Could you, by any chance, give me some idea of what's going on? Are you having a good day?
The rag flollops non-committedly.
It's a living.
You know, I understand completely. I feel complicated too. You know, who doesn't? Haha. Is the ship under attack? Could you maybe shake twice for no? So like a shake once for yes, a shake two. Or you could tell me how to. I'm sorry, I don't speak rag, and I'm delighted to hear that you speak English.
You hear a scraping noise from the far end of the hold. You can't see what is making the noise because of the aurora, which is moving through the ship as well, bear in mind, a little bit.
Okay, cool.
Just a gentle scraping, coming nearer.
Right. Rag, are you safe where you are? Actually, no, you shouldn't come in here. Here would not be safe for
Something
you.
Is moving at the far end of the room to the box that you're in.
Is a friend of yours coming here? Are they friendly?
Something starts materialising on the floor at the far end. At first, you think it might be a bug. Then you see what is best described as a tankard of grog is dragging itself, sliding along the floor towards the door. It comes to a rest outside the door in such a way that if you chose, you could probably open the door, grab it, and pull it in.
Well, is this your friend? I wouldn't want to drink your friend. That seems impolite. I understand that.
The tankard gives a friendly little waggle.
Okay, so the you, the tankard, are a friend, but the grog inside you is not sentient, and I'm not going to make any enemies by drinking a potential friend.
Oh. I've never seen a tankard shrug, and yet the tankard shrugs.
You know what? I really appreciate the gesture, if I'm understanding the gesture, but if you come inside this box, you may lose sentience, and I feel like that is an equivalent of death in some ways, and so I would rather not do that to you, who I appreciate very much as a new friend who I am delighted to get to know.
The tankard starts kind of brushing itself up against the side of the box, you know, like a cat that wants food, just kind of brushing itself up against the base of the box.
Okay, well, out of character, the box is like a Faraday cage, right? Like, you can stick your hand out through the...
I reckon you could probably stick your hand out, grab it and pull the tankard in.
That's not what Sel's gonna do, that's murder.
But I'm just letting you know you could.
Yeah,
Sel... I'm just saying if the tankard gets aggressive, you know, you can do something about it.
Sel's gonna stick their hand out and, like, pat the tankard on the equivalent of its shoulder, like on the handle.
When Sel sticks their hand out, the drift that I was describing for Zolf, very strong. Like, there is a stretched quality to the hand drifting out. It's actually not an unpleasant sensation. It's sort of
it's familiar from many interesting evenings.
But you are able to still, like, move your hand and so on, and you can pat the tankard. The tankard nuzzles up as if it wants to be picked up.
I would rather our friendship continue through the bars of the cage, in that if I come out, I just feel that might go
bad. You feel the tankard start to pull away from you.
Oh, I'm sorry, friend. Can we not?
It continues to pull away.
Do you want me to go somewhere with you?
It is going to pull itself out of your hand if you'll let it.
They will let the tankard go.
Okay. The tankard scoots somewhat sadly away from the cage towards the far end.
There's
a brief slop of foam at one point comes over, and the rag comes over, flollops and cleans it up, and then...
I feel like I don't understand the etiquette of your culture, and I have made a mistake, and I sincerely apologise.
The tankard disappears into the mists of the Borealis, leaving you alone in your box.
How can I be alone and still messing this stuff up? Oh, no. This is a level of insensitivity even for you,
It's okay with you, I would like to accelerate time by about 20 minutes.
Do
you hear a scraping from the far end of the hold again? A very familiar scraping this time.
Oh, hey buddy, you're back.
You see that the shape appears bigger, different somehow.
Brother Tanker brought its big brother
buddy.
The scraping is deeper, heavier. It has a certain bassy tone to it.
Did you bring a drum?
Your tankard friend appears, and then is followed by a keg friend. A big, beefy, friendly keg.
Oh, hey, buddy! You do have a friend. Grand. You know what? I feel like...
There is a straw poking from the top of the keg. A long straw.
Okay, you know what? I have to absolutely applaud your problem-solving capacities, because I think that we could probably stick the straw through and I could drink without you losing sentience.
The keg bumps up against the cage, and then the straw kind of... The keg itself kind of wiggles itself till the straw pokes through the cage.
Okay, friend, I'll be honest... I've been in some strange situations in my life, but this is up there.
The tankard is helping to move the straw, encouraging
this. This may be top five.
Only may.
The likelihood of there being a gas leak in the ship has significantly increased in your statistical estimations based on your earlier data set.
You know what? I would rather not be impolite. I appreciate the gesture. Sel takes a sip from the straw.
It's just grog. It's grog that you've had before.
Yeah.
It doesn't taste any different. It doesn't taste altered in any way.
It tastes like a living creature that has a mind.
This is my blood.
And is capable of complex problem solving. No.
At no point does it try to disassemble you or anything. No, it just seems like grog.
Ah, grand. It is a pleasure to know you guys. Now, I'm going to be honest, I need to be careful not to get drunk right now because I am the only, I may be the only awake person on this ship.
The tankard sags a little.
I know. Aww. Later. I promise, friend. I promise.
perks up a little bit. Yeah. Perks up a little bit.
That's really cool. I really hope that this friendship continues and that we get to drink together and I can offer you whatever. I don't know. Would some wood polish or something? Maybe something that would be pleasant for you in return? I don't know.
You hear something clatter to the floor at the far end of the hole. Hold.
A new
Sorry.
Friend, I think, probably.
It begins seemingly rolling towards you.
What is it?
It's a jar of wood polish.
Yeah! Wait, so I could... Is that something that you would like? Would you like a massage? Is that what you're...
I am going to, at this point... shift the focus a little bit,
yeah.
If I may.
I mean, we're just, this is like, if Beauty and the Beast was not feudalism, it would actually be a lot more complicated, really, morally speaking.
I'm going to, if it's okay, accelerate time a little bit where...
Please do!
You can continue having interactions of this type,
yep.
But it is basically going to be mute interactions with household objects.
Yeah, that's cool.
My new best-selling novel! No.
Wait. Oh, one thing is that Cell will have some kind of pen or pencil on their person because they are constantly making edits things. Cell puts... this through the bars at one point and asks, you know, could you possibly give me a bit more detail about what's going on? Why are you suddenly... I don't want to make judgments on whether you were sentient in the past and I just didn't notice. I am sincerely apologetic if that was the case. Hands up, did not know, have learned, will be better. But what is happening? Could you tell me?
I think that's good for an out. You know what? Just as a question, that's a good out.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Ostium, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Ostium is an adventure sci-fi fantasy podcast set in the mysterious and thrilling town of Ostium, where some doors should not be opened. Follow Jake Fisher, who discovers the secret and abandoned town of Ostium in the far reaches of Northern California. When he eventually gets inside Ostium, he learns that the town is filled with many doors, each with its own specific number. None of the doors will open for him until he starts with the first door. It opens and begins a journey that will take him far away from his normal life, through many more doors, leading to different places in time and space. Search for the Ostium Podcast wherever you get your podcasts, or go to ostiumpodcast.com or rustyquill.com for more information. Have fun, and see you later.
So, I am going to say now that your pad and pen do not suddenly begin writing helpful notes.
Oh.
And I would say I'm going to accelerate time now a couple more hours, because otherwise it's going to be lots of one-sided conversations and I might break Lydia.
How's Zolf doing? Is Zolf still okay?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna carry on accelerating time. So those 2 hours have passed.
Cell is going to ask their new friends to check on Zolf.
Okay, that's fine. Let's do that then. I'll say that we accelerate time maybe half an hour then.
Mm-hmm.
And then your new friends, they the keg sort of rolls over to the ladder that leads up, then hesitates.
Oh, baby!
At which point, then the rag sort of flops over, flops onto the barrel, and starts flopping up the ladder.
Yes!
We're now playing a blooming like early 2010s indie platformer.
Yes. Basically. And the rag disappears from view. At which point, I am going to jump to Zolf.
Hello.
To anyone trying to keep a timeline, I'm sorry.
Yep.
Zolf, I am going to openly state that you failed your last will save. If you have anything that can deal with this situation, now's the time.
Yeah, so I've got one thing, Liberty's Blessing, which is one of my domain abilities. I touch a willing creature with a standard action, granting it a boon. A creature with this boon can, as a swift action, make a saving throw against a single spell or effect that it is suffering from that grants a save.
I didn't quite catch all the wording. Just confirming that can apply to you. That's not just other creatures that you touch.
It says you touch a willing creature as a standard action.
Okay, that's fine.
That's copy-pasted from the... Yeah.
No, and is a willing creature.
That means it can affect you.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd say you Zolf touch another himself. Willing another, yeah, creature. Yeah,
yeah. I do touch myself.
He's willing, yes. So it's fine.
So basically, the boon lasts for 1 minute or until successfully used to remove a spell or effect, whichever duration is shorter.
Okay, cool. In which case, then, I'll need a... You basically are able to activate that because you feel yourself actively dropping off.
That's what I was thinking. As soon as I'm like, this is fine. Oh, no, this isn't fine. It's a magical pinch.
Basically, yeah, you did the magical equivalent of slapping your face.
Yes. Okay.
In which case, then, I'm going to give you a fresh attempt at a will save after that.
Cool. I think the reactive nature, I'm assuming I don't get a chance to, like, cast Owl's Wisdom. It's a bit too... I don't really have...
Watch me sail past that question.
Yeah, it's all a bit awkward and complicated, so I think it's fair to not get to do that. I mean, I get to have another will save, which is good on its own. Haha, that's a 30.
30. Okay,
excellent.
Cool.
Excellent. Yay.
You've answered my question, then. So, at some point... You notice that the ship finishes tacking itself and lining everything up and tidying itself up. It's this is not meant as a pun. It is literally shipshape now.
Yeah.
At which point, you see a rag flop up onto the deck from the crew hold. It looks like someone threw it.
Hello? Are you out? Is everything all right?
It throws itself further closer towards you.
All right, that shouldn't happen. Can anyone hear me? Have you all been killed by a rag?
Give me a perception check, Sal.
Yeah, I was going to say, can I hear them? Ooh, possibly. That is 28.
Yes.
Yay.
But it's quite like, you've been on the ship long enough to know that the sound travels quite well if the doors are open from where Zolf was last to where you are.
Yeah.
The sound is quieter than it should be, but it does have a muffled quality, implying it might just be a case of, like, other stuff.
Thick air.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sel...
Soupy air.
Yeah. Sel is going to yell, I'm okay! Everyone's asleep! And then realise it's very likely Zolf won't hear that and write a note and pass it through the bars, waving it to the tankard, I guess, and the keg are the only ones left. I don't know how they would
grab favourites. I see how it is. All right, fair enough.
Well,
that's fine.
You know, that's we're just going to see if they can. And just like, could you take this to my friend?
A loop of rope starts to unspool itself from the wall.
The note says, I should say, it's Sel, I'm fine. Everyone is magically asleep. Are you okay? Do you need anything? The ship is alive.
The rope grabs the note and then snakes its way up onto the deck. On deck, Zolf, you see one loop of rope up the ladder, hand off to another loop of rope that has unspooled itself from the rigging, and then pass you a note.
All right, well, I guess it's to be expected. Okay. Okay, well, it's fine. I'm not asleep yet, so... Great.
You are both aware at this point. I'm not going to require a perception check because it's on your mind. The aurora is definitely starting to thin.
Oh!
It's not growing more intense. It is actively growing less intense. Visibility for you, Zolf, is starting to improve actively.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, Sel might lose their friends.
Or. I mean, that guy's arms stayed big, didn't they?
Yes.
I'm now not going to accelerate time with characters in an active, although weird, conversation.
I think the aurora's letting up.
Okay. Well done. Thanks.
You two, this is a bit weird, isn't it?
Yes, and from me that means a lot.
Yeah, ship's sorting itself out, trying to drive itself. I think I got a working theory.
Yeah?
The elemental's fused. I can't look over, but the engines aren't on anymore. I'm thinking maybe the engines are the ship.
Okay, they seem to have separate personalities.
What,
and
the...
they want you to drink them. It's...
Right. Wait, the rope wants me to drink it?
No, the kegs will, though. Trust
right.
me.
All of you feel a slight shudder. Zolf, because you're primed for it, you realise that the engines are starting to come back to life.
Oh, engines are back on.
Oh, okay.
So, maybe not the elementals.
Okay, well, I... Cool, good, grand. Engines haven't been running, but we're alive. Or, if we're dead, very similar afterlife.
If we were crashing, I would have mentioned.
Well, I guess it could be I'm the one asleep and everyone else is awake.
Oh, no, let's not go down that route. Come on. Oh, we've done that once before, all right?
Oh, you'll have to tell me that story.
The ship is starting to anticipate your moves less and is starting to ease off a little bit.
Aww. Ship's going back to normal.
Okay, good luck.
Thanks.
Your little barrel and your tankard start to put themselves away.
Folks, it was little buddies. It was really nice knowing you. I hope we stay in touch.
They roll and scrape away respectively.
Yeah. I'll miss you if you go to sleep.
Azu.
Yeah.
You awaken.
Ah.
So, you know, you got that going for you.
Yay.
Can you give me a perception check, please?
22.
I need you to brace yourself, because this is coming at you slowly, okay? The ship has either gotten very big, or you have gotten very small.
Oh, no. Alex.
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 Alexander, Jalexander, Nalexander.
For a moment, you feel like you're back in the hotel room that was made for larger creatures where you were a little bit too small for it. Yeah, you are definitely actively smaller. Cell, you can see, is stood. Everyone else seems to be still asleep, but Cell is stood and facing out of the bars and is massive, really, really big.
Okay, wait. Azu isn't on the other side of the bars from Cell, looking up from what might be a tanker.
No.
Okay.
I was tempted, but no.
Wait, hang on a minute. Are we just doing like Sasha's kids, but like now it's the bloody Tiny Toons?
This is Honey, I Shrunk the Azu, and I don't like it.
No.
I made a 6'6" for a reason. I want to be pink.
I should okay. point out that this is from you just waking up where you apparently ended up asleep on the floor and you have just opened your eyes and this is your first impressions.
Maybe my eyes are just weird. As you says, Cell?
Cell turns around.
Your voice sounds wrong. Cell, I got news for you. One of them's awake.
Oh, good.
One of the kobolds, Merc, is awake.
Oh, no!
Oh, my God!
This is not a drill. We're in a Freaky Friday situation, people. This is not a drill.
Now, this I like.
Cell turns around. Oh, little buddy, you're okay. Did you have a good sleep?
I will say that Cell is significantly more intimidating when viewed from this low angle, despite the smile. It's the smile of someone very big looking down.
No, Cell, it's Azu.
I will, for the sake of everyone's sanity, say, please continue doing your character voice, Helen, as you would normally.
Unless you want to do a kobold voice.
But I will say that, yes! Categorically, it is coming out in Merc's voice. But I personally need this to be your character's voice, okay?
This is an ask.
Yeah. This is a proper ask.
I feel like
please
we need
stick
to rebel.
With your character
voice. He Freaky Friday'd us. We Freaky Friday back, right?
Yeah. I think you should do Trexel's voice. Really mess with him. Go on, Helen.
So, nonetheless, Cell has given you a hello and been looking at you, little buddy.
Why am I small? I don't like this.
You are okay, from my perspective, you are... Was it Merc, did you say?
It is,
Merc.
Merc.
It is Merc. And also, you know what, I reckon I have got enough prep in place. If you want to do your kobold voice, you guys go ahead. I think I can make this work. You All I ask is that people either agree with yourselves now that you will all stick with your character voices as is, or you will all adopt new character voices. I can't have half of you doing it. That's the rule.
What do we think?
I mean, I don't know who Hammett has ended up in, but I'm excited to do a new voice.
All right, then.
I don't like being small.
Yes!
Yes!
Yes! Best decision.
Because that as well, that is actually a perfect, like, Azu's voice through Meek's throat, like, not Meek's accent. That's, like,
correct. Yeah.
Welcome to Grizzop Town.
Yeah. You know my policy on accents anyway.
Yeah. Cool. So sounds good. Okay, so from my perspective, I have to say, and I accept that magical effects could be working on me as much as on you, you appear to be Meek, or at least in Meek's body.
Azu looks at her hands.
Yeah, you got little cobble claws. And now you do have a tail, and then as you look around, you see Azu asleep, still in Kiko's arms.
Azu runs over to her own body and smacks really hard.
Let me in! Let me in!
Oh, that's really helpful. Hamid, you awake to one of your kobolds yelling, "Let me in!" at your face. However, they seem really small compared to normal. Like teeny tiny.
What is it, Merc?
I'm not Merc. I'm. Who are you? Who are you? Get out of my body!
What? I do not understand.
Look, whoever you are, you're not meant to be in there. I belong in there.
What do you mean?
The ship's really, really small, like uncomfortably small. Like, oh my goodness, how could anyone get by in a space so small?
Sticks their hands up. Azu in Mirk's body suggested. I think looking at your hands is a good.
Move. I'm Hamid. I thought I was Hamid, and I appear to be in Hazu's body. This is very distressing.
Oh, at least it's you.
Imagine if it was Sigif.
That's nice, I suppose. Azu, you're inside Mirk's body. Does this mean everyone is someone new?
Maybe.
Oh.
Pick me up.
Oh, of course. Azu gives Mirk a big hug. Or is it Hamid giving Azu a big hug? Who knows?
Can you give me a quick reflex save? I'm going to refer to character name still. Azu, can you please give me a reflex save?
What reflex number is Azu using?
This is a correct question, Bryn. Azu, can you please give Bryn the score on the dice?
15.
Plus 5.
Okay, good. So, Azu's body, i.e. Hamid, begins to hug. Hamid is a very small person, used to giving hugs to people much bigger, and is not used to huge, beefy arms. Hamid immediately begins to crush the life out of you. However, in your tiny body, which responds way quicker than your own, interestingly, you're able to skitter out, but that is a person used to hugging everyone is a tree trunk, was just given Azu's enormous tanky body.
You gotta be more gentle. I'm small now.
Sorry, Azu. You're so strong, Azu. This is difficult to deal with. Everything's so small.
Azu is ludicrously strong.
We've gone
through Hamid, through human, and out the other side.
Azu is going to try and reach out to Aphrodite.
Okay. You start attempting, and it is definitely a little bit more difficult. It's a bit odd. You find it harder to focus, and everything that's going on around you just feels a bit more distracting than it would otherwise be. You know, just people seem to be fidgeting a lot. Why are people fidgeting so much? They don't need to fidget that much. Just stay still. However, you do manage to start... Yeah, you start feeling that connection. Hamid, you start feeling something growing warm on your neck.
Azu, maybe you should take this. I'll take the necklace off and hand it to Azu.
Azu, like, takes it and holds it close to her new tiny chest. As if it's like... As if she is starving and it is a jar of pickles.
It was warming up, Azu? Is that supposed to happen? Is it warming up?
It is so big. It is like that time as a kid that you may have messed around with your parents' stuff.
Oh, yes.
It's as big as your own heart.
Azu, it was heating up. Is that normal? Is that supposed to happen?
Yeah, that's normal. Okay. It means that Aphrodite is still there.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Hamid's body wakes up.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Hi. It's okay. Things are going to be okay.
What? Oh, no.
Stay calm for a second.
Oh, right, okay. Oh God, no. I don't like this at all. What? Where's my backy? Hang on.
No, no.
What? What am I wearing? Oh, this is awful. Oh, no. Hamid starts to pluck at his clothes. Obviously it's Sigis. Who else is it going to be? What am I wearing?
This is
so itchy.
Hamid. This is
no, you're
Hamid.
Azu. What is this? No, oh, my
Sigith,
goodness
we're
me.
All,
no, no, no. That's Hamid in...
We've all been
in
mixed
my
up.
Body and...
Merc, what? Shush. No, what? Oh,
Sigith,
what?
We've all been mixed up.
This is not fun. The ship is massive. This is magic, isn't it? This is absolute... Yes.
In an extreme fear or panic response, Hamid's hands would normally turn into claws, especially... If he is essentially not used to that,
I have remembered this fact.
Cool.
Panic is not yet on the cards.
Awesome.
This isn't fun. Oh God! What possessed you?
We are all in each other's bodies. None of us is ourselves.
Except Sigith
starts plucking at your cufflinks and stuff like.
Cell is themselves.
I'm still me. Although sometimes Sigith, that feels complicated, you know.
Look now,
Sigith, calm down. But look there.
Sigith
I point
looks
to Sigith's
at
body.
Sigith.
Yeah.
Hamid's body immediately goes as dragony as it can.
Oh no!
Calm down.
Sigith starts looking at Sigith's claws, which get more dragony.
Oh no!
Sigith, you're okay.
I just wanted big arms. Would have been fine. I don't want claws. I just want big arms. Why can't I have big arms?
Hamid passes out. Oh, sorry, Hamid's body passes out. Just passes out. Like a light.
Oh dear.
I'll be honest, that was probably actually the best thing that could happen in that situation.
Yes.
What about everyone else?
When everyone else starts waking up, this is going to get very complicated very quickly.
I'm going to make name tags.
Can I hear screaming from down below decks?
I was about to jump to you, Ben.
Okay,
yeah, good timing. I'm going to jump to Zolf. Zolf,
yeah.
There is quite the commotion happening below decks. Cell stops talking, obviously, and then, yeah, let's call it, like, kerfuffle, screaming, cries. You definitely hear Hamid crying out in distress. You know that voice anyway.
What's going on down there? Is everything all right? I'm flying the ship. I can't...
It's okay, but... It's complicated.
That's an episode title.
Right. Has some magical nonsense happened?
Yes.
Is everyone okay?
Seemingly.
Okay.
I'm not okay.
Sort of.
All right, thanks, Azu. Good.
Yes.
Cell makes name tags for everyone.
So, I'm going to deal with one last thing, which is Wild wakes up.
Oh, Wild is not going to handle being an... Oh, no.
who is Wild?
It's Sigith's body. It's Sigith's body.
So,
Oh, wait, so Wild's body wakes up.
How is everyone? Yes, Wild's body wakes up.
Okay.
How is everyone?
Things have gotten quite complicated. Take a second.
Go on, Azu.
Stay calm. Look at your hands.
Okay. I'm okay, Azu. I don't...
Well, that's the thing, you see. I'm not actually Azu. Who are you?
Wild looks over Hamid. Oh, how's... Because Hamid is face down, like having just face planted in front of everyone. Wild, in inverted commas, goes over and starts flipping over Hamid. What happened? Is everyone okay?
Well...
Is Barnes? Is Death Barnes? Is Barnes? Is 100% Barnes?
People have had their minds swapped into each other's bodies. I am actually Hamid.
Wild's body gives a little bit of a smirk. Okay.
And I'm Azu.
This is Azu.
So this is Hamid that I'm speaking with right now.
Yes, I am Hamid. This appears to be Sigith.
So pointedly gives the name tag.
Sigif. Oh, Hamid. I'm so sorry.
Cell is still Cell, so that's the good news. Who are you?
Well, you tell me.
I mean, obviously, this is Oscar's body, but I'm not sure who might be inside it at the moment.
Wild, in inverted commas, face drops. Oh, really? Well, that would have been fun.
Oh, unless it's Carter and he's lying.
Are you still Oscar, then?
This trip could have just got very interesting for me. Yes, apparently so. Wonderful.
I mean, it is a little too interesting for me. I mean, Azu's body is wonderful, but I have already nearly hurt Azu by hugging her too hard, which seems like a big flaw in many ways.
No, you just have to get used to it, because
Do you think I will adjust? I mean, everything seems so small, Azu. No wonder you don't like small spaces.
Big. I didn't know I was so big.
What I'm hearing is that we're all on a brave new frontier. Azu gets the chance to cut loose a little bit, and Hamid, it might be interesting to learn how the other half.
No, I want to get back in. I can't. What if we get stuck like this forever? I'm not a kobold. I'm an orc.
Sigif was struggling to cope. The panic reaction triggered the claw expression.
Wild's face drops. Can you still cast magic?
I don't know. Let me try. I go through the motions.
Fun and games are fine, but we might be at a tactical disadvantage here.
I go through the motions of casting Detect Magic.
Azu's body casts Detect Magic successfully. You're nearly stunned.
Okay, let me try something a little more complicated, perhaps.
Not Fireball. Don't.
Obviously.
Please don't Fireball.
I am not an idiot. I will cast Comprehend Languages on myself.
Okay, you apparently cast Comprehend Languages on
Someone
yourself.
Someone speak some Japanese to me, please.
Cell explains that there had been lots of new interesting friends in the ship in Japanese.
Yeah, you understand flawlessly.
Oh, yes, I mean, I understood that, and I wouldn't normally because I don't actually speak Japanese, so...
Okay.
Yes, my magic still appears to work.
I like that. What I had hoped, I have to admit, is that you'd just be like, well, that was nonsense. But it's cool that you just accept that Cell's like, yeah, so I made friends with a keg.
The question is, Cell, were you simply telling me a children's story or did all that actually happen?
Oh. Listen, this is all sort of, we need to bear with this. The best thing that we can possibly do right now is maybe separate everyone out so that we can break the news to people gently. I would suggest maybe Cell or myself, since we're still ourselves. A room full of people having a complete body shock is a recipe for a disaster.
Yes, Sigif really struggled.
But we shouldn't let people out of the box still, because maybe you go out, the magic gets stronger and it sticks, you know? I don't know.
So we don't know if we're through the Aurora yet.
Is Zolf still out there?
Yeah, yes. But he's fine. He's fine. He sent me... We've been talking.
Zolf?
What?
You still you?
What?
Are you still you?
Yeah, don't be stupid. Wait, this is magical nonsense. What's happened?
I'll tell you what, Zolf.
Yeah.
It might not be brilliant, but it is hilarious.
What? What has happened?
We'll tell you. It's not urgent. We'll tell you in a bit.
I think it's urgent.
I mean, it's not urgent is what I would say about that.
It's fine. We'll fix it.
The rest of the room start waking up anyway.
Oh,
they're
dear.
All starting to stir
dear.
In various ways.
Hmm.
I think the situation might have gotten away from us a little bit here.
Oh, God, please let Barter be in Carnes. Yes, well, that. Barter and Carnes.
Barter and Carnes.
It's canon.
Oh, no.
I was fingers crossed. I was really hoping Hamid would wake up in Barnes's body. One, because I'd love a chance to do that accent. And two, imagine how good Hamid could look with that aesthetic.
This feels like a natural stopping point for me. So I am gonna call it here with everyone starting to wake up.
As we just devolve into fan fiction.
Yeah. Cell does stand next to Oscar and nudge gently and sort of shrug like, I think it's a bit of a shame too.
Fabulous. Yeah, we're definitely running out. And as next week we find out just what kind of obstacles love can overcome, we can return to that next week.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by Hannah Preisinger. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at The Rusty Quill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail at rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord or via Reddit at r/rustyquill. Thanks for listening.
I cannot believe you've pulled this.
Hi everyone, Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Lily McGee, Bruna Thomas, Muzz Butch, Bridget Smith, Kayla Young, Roblin, Deanna Smith, Whitney Reynolds, Indigo Prince, Jeremiah Okoa, Elsa Bouchard-Lucas, Olivia McRae.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Harrison Stanley, Amanda Geisler, Tatum Hedrick, Nero, Romilly, Protect Martin Squad, Judith Bouchard, Emma Firth, Tori, Alex Dempsey, Kate Shipley, Courtney Dietz, Helly Clare, Mime Screaming, Mackenzie Dodd, Erin Leisure, Jay Kun, Aubrey, Michaela Christianos, Micah Rack, Garrett M. Beeg, Flynn, Christy Abraham, Lindsay Lutz, Dree Snow, Curry, Benjamin Horn, Lauren H.P., Just Heather, Claire Burnjack, Ellis Gallagher, Kit Mitten, Raphael Hawke, Mia CM, Leo Nine Raw, Nick Welker, Molly Rose, Daisy Bell. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.